Hey, everybody. Welcome back to the Guardian Project podcast. This is episode 171, and I'm your host, Andy, and it is sweater weather again, and I draw my strength from the fall.
I got it from the fallen. I am just still stuck on the sweater weather comment because I hate it.
This is the best time of year, and I am making Coil record the episode with this window here wide open. So it is very cold in the studio today.
Who knew that dressing in layers today was the correct decision? And I'm your other host, Mike. And although my opinion was dicey at the start, there is something about this Unfinity set that's really attractive to me. There's just something that really is appealing about it. I think it's gonna stick with me.
Yeah. I'm excited for this. So yeah,
it's great.
Although it's not what we're talking about today.
It's not what we're talking about
today. It's not.
Please listen carefully.
And this is the podcast about Commander,
our favorite Magic the Gathering format.
Speaking of Unfinity, though,
yeah,
I am very excited because we're planning an Unfinity stream. So we would like to utilize the Moxfield playtester, which we got to try out just a couple of weeks ago, mm-hmm. as we mentioned. Mm-hmm. And I want to play the card Claire de Lune, Joy Sculptor. And we are going to be talking about Unfinity next week. Mm-hmm. But Claire de Lune, Joy Sculptor is a 2/3. It's Azoria, so white and blue for a human performer. And it says when Claire de Lune, Joy Sculptor enters the battlefield, for the rest of the game, tokens you own become cards that are still tokens. So they continue to exist after they leave the battlefield. So like a token now will die and you count a die trigger, but then it disappears, right? Or it goes back to your hand, disappears, goes to the command zone, maybe mm-hmm. with like sudden I don't know.
Sure.
Whatever card. If it's going somewhere, it's going away. Well, this card makes it so that they don't go away. And you can also pay one white and a blue and tap it to put a token from your graveyard or hand onto the battlefield. So those tokens can come back. Well, I was looking at Moxfield and I posed a question in the Discord and said, hey, can you throw tokens from your anywhere into the graveyard? I was just curious about the graveyard.
Sure.
And Harry responded and said, hey, at this time, we don't really have that functionality, but mm-hmm. let me look. Sure. When's your stream? Because I said we want to do a stream. Mm-hmm. And I said, I don't know. It's probably not for like 2 weeks. And then he responded like a few minutes later and said, I think I figured it out. I'm going to see if I can push it to production. And then mm-hmm. from the minute that I had originally asked the question, it took 16 minutes mm-hmm. for the update to be in production on Moxfield. And what you can do is when you go to the playtester and you go to add a token, there's like an add token orange button. When you click on that, at the bottom of that like menu that opens up, there's a button that says allow tokens in zone. So each time you go in, you have to enable it if you need to, which I don't know how many times you would need to. But you can make it so that your tokens go to your hand, to your graveyard. You can shuffle them from the graveyard back into your library. Mm-hmm. So I will be able to play as Claire de Lune, Joy Sculptor deck. And I'm very excited because on Moxfield, you can make custom, like you can create a token mm-hmm. of any card.
Right.
So if you're playing like a deck that make a copy of a creature, mm-hmm. like I can actually do it and physically represent it. And then if it dies, it's still represented.
Right.
So I'm really excited. So thank you, Moxfield. Also not sponsored at all, but we love Moxfield. And if you are not using that awesome deck building tool, please do so. They're wonderful.
Yeah. I mean, I'm a believer myself. I was an architect purist for a long time.
Now you're using both.
I've got my first follow on Moxfield actually the other day. So maybe it was my second. It was my first in a really long time.
It wasn't me. I'm not following you.
No, it wasn't you. There's someone else in our Discord that I've been brewing some decks with. So thanks for the follow, Wildheart. And yeah, I look forward to brewing on there and playtesting on there.
Yeah. So some streams coming up in the future, we will likely be doing that. So if you're interested in doing that, once we also have that and seeing those decks, but once we have all that set up, we would love to be able to do a user submitted deck list because then we can just load it on there mm-hmm. and then play on our stream. So if we did like a patron submitted deck list mm-hmm. week, we can do it on the fly.
Easy.
We can just load up the list and press play.
That would be fun.
So
we should do that.
Listen, it's in the works. We have so many ideas.
We also have an update on the Brothers War pre-release. So Wizards of the Coast brought an article that says, as we're gearing up to travel back in time, we've decided to make the pre-release of the Brothers War a bit more historic. Two updates are going to make the Brothers War pre-release events starting November 11th the can't-miss events of the fall. First, at pre-release events held at participating stores, you'll now be able to purchase all product in any quantity during the pre-release window. Woo-hoo! Set boosters, you can get them. Collector boosters, kick off that collection early. Draft boosters, bundles, commander decks, and jumpstart boosters. Yes, 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 and yes.
This is big because we've always wanted this. Mm-hmm. And it was like, if you pre-ordered, you could go get it. But it was like, well, why can't I just buy it now? Because I already knew I was going to buy it. Mm-hmm. I just had to do it 4 weeks ago as opposed to just coming in.
Right.
You know?
It's nice that, you know, as much as they'll probably still make multiple trips to the LGS, at least now you can make one pre-release, buy other stuff, and come back with your constructed deck.
And come back for singles a week later or whatever for the cards you didn't open.
Absolutely. So secondly, we're going to continue a test we started with Streets of New Capenna and have the tabletop pre-release come before the digital release. That means that November 11th is the first day you can get a chance to play with the Brothers War, and you can only do so through your local game store. In fact, we're trying this again for the following two sets as well, Phyrexia All Will Be One and March of the Machine. For the Brothers War, the digital release on Magic the Gathering Arena and Magic Online will take place on November 15th. The stakes for Dominaria have never been higher as the greatest of Magic's heroes and villains collide alongside the most devastating artifacts ever forged in a showdown that will rock the multiverse. Watch for more details coming up in the next few weeks as we continue to celebrate 30 years of Magic the Gathering. So digital will have to wait a little bit, which I'm okay with. I mean, before it was like Arena would get the cards a week ahead of us getting cards in paper. So now we're going to get it in paper first.
I do like that the end of this, it says that Magic's greatest villains are coming together, but Cauldron Familiar is not joining this group.
Oh, Cauldron Familiar.
And that is my greatest Arena villain of all time.
Arena villain.
Arena. It's a villain, okay? Sure. And you put it in Witch's Oven.
That's true.
And you made the game take 40 minutes longer.
Still one of my favorite memes I've ever seen online of someone holding a black cat and an open oven and said, only Magic players understand.
Yeah, and you do.
It's true.
If you played on Arena during Throne of Eldraine at any point in time, you definitely understand.
I played that deck though, so I'm part of the problem.
You're definitely part of the problem. But before we continue, we have a bunch of people we need to thank. Thank you everybody who comes back and listens to our show week after week. We really appreciate you. And for all of our patrons, we appreciate all of your support. If you are looking to support the podcast, you can head to patreon.com/guardianprojectpod and donate for any dollar amount.
And if you're looking for another way or an additional way to support the podcast, whatever platform you are currently enjoying the podcast on now, if you could subscribe, rate, review, and leave comments, we'd be really appreciative. And on top of all of that, you can find us on a majority of the social medias out there, YouTube, Instagram, Twitter, and of course, you can email us at guardianprojectpod@gmail.com.
If someone ever emailed us and said, make a Facebook page, I would. But until someone emails and says, you will definitely benefit from posting things there because Facebook is my primary social media source. I just don't know if I can bring myself to do it. That is the one I think we're not there.
Yeah.
We're also not on TikTok.
That's true. We are not on TikTok. I don't have the TikTok app actually.
I have the TikTok app, but I don't really know how to use it because I am that old.
I'm only a couple years behind you. I'm sure I'll be there. I mean, I guess I'm there already. I have no idea how to use the TikTok app either.
You know, I had a coworker one time that told me, I will never get so old that I don't understand young technology or young. And I was like, I'm there.
I was there. I mean, I mentor high school kids and they use terminology and like,
are you Googling
when someone first said no cap to me and I had no idea.
That means no lie.
It means it means not lying. Yeah. Cap is to lie. I had no idea. Everyone was just like, no cap, no cap. Is this a no hats zone here or something?
Yeah. You're like, shoot, I'm always wearing a hat. I'm always wearing a hat. Mike, what are we talking about this week?
Recently, we went on Twitter and we asked folks out there what their favorite commander decks were and what their best or signature card was for the deck. And we got a ton of responses and a lot of very interesting responses. So we are going to go through some of the responses that we got, a couple of our own responses, and talk about some of these unique commanders and cards.
All right, let's go check it out. All right. I was very excited to talk about this after we had posted it because there were cards that some people were responding with that I had literally never heard of. And when you read the commander what it did, and then you read the signature card or the best card that they viewed in their deck, mm-hmm. I was like, wow, this makes so much sense, because we wanted to know what we were missing out on, right? We've got quite a few decks. We play with people on our Discord. We play with people online at our LGSs. But with the plethora of new commanders, we're seeing a lot of new hotness, right? Mm-hmm. We like to play with the new stuff too.
Of course.
But there's so many old decks that people have not taken apart, and they continue to update, like a Noyandar deck that I have, mm-hmm. That I don't always know the new fun tools that are really working well with some old commanders. So
right.
I will start with my favorite deck, which is Noyandar Royal Shaper. If you have listened to our show for the last 3 years, you know this. So that's not new. But if you haven't been listening to our show for 3 years and I haven't talked about Noyandar yet, Noyandar is a 4/4 merfolk ally. It costs 3 white and a blue. Whenever you cast an instant or sorcery, you can put 3+1/+1 counters on a land you control. And then if you do, it becomes a 0/0 elemental with haste. So this is the awaken mechanic we got in Battle for Zendikar. Noyandar just has it written out. And the best card in my deck is the card View from Above. It's an instant for 1 and a blue. And it says target creature gains flying until end of turn. If you control a white permanent, return View from Above to its owner's hand. So Noyandar just wants you to cast instants, and so or sorceries. And View from Above is an instant. And because Noyandar is white, when View from Above resolves, you're going to put it back into your hand. So you have a reusable instant that works with your commander that feels like cheating, you know, because you would brainstorm or ponder mm-hmm. or, you know, windfall, whatever it is. And then you got to use your spell one time, Noyandar, put 3 counters one time. But if you have the mana, and Mike has seen it before, if I have like 8 mana, I cast it 4 times at the end of my opponent's turn before me.
Mm-hmm.
And then on my turn, I'll cast it 4 more times before combat.
Right.
And so I've done it 8 times.
Mm-hmm.
So that's 3 counters, 8, 16, 24. I just put 24 counters on a land. It has flying.
Yep.
And if you don't have flying, I get to deal 24 to you, and you did not anticipate that.
No, I'm probably dead.
And if you can do it with a card like Inkmon, like I have other cards in the deck that, you know, can get infect or, you know, whatever. Some of them have vigilance. So mm-hmm. this is the best card in my deck, and it's always fun to share when you have like what you feel like is a hidden gem.
Sure.
For a commander deck.
Yeah, it's like it's free buyback, right?
Basically.
Yeah, because I've seen decks in the past that like reduce instant and sorcery costs by a lot of generic mana, use buyback, because buyback is part of the cost of the spell, so you can actually reduce your buyback cost by reducing your instant and sorcery spell costs as well. I've seen people do like Capsize for 2 blue with buyback and over and over and over again, but view from above, you don't have to pay any extra mana. You don't have to jump through all those hoops or anything to get there.
No, and if I do have a cost reducer, because I have some, mm-hmm. I just pay a single blue, so you can do it even more. So,
more. 16 times.
16 times. Good. I mean, at that point, that is over 40, so I guess.
Yeah. There's one. There,
well, it's not over 40. 16, 30. No, it is over 40.
Yeah, it's over 40. Yeah, it's 48.
Living the dream.
Get that Aloro player, because they're not at 40 anymore. All right, so I had a lot of difficulties actually picking my favorite deck, because I don't know if I really have a favorite deck right now. So I did with the one that I am most trying to play games with right now because of some changes I've made to it recently, and that's my Abzan Tokens deck. And in fact, the commander has changed 2 times over the past month and a half for this deck. It's currently Kaiodai Soul of Kamigawa, which is a 5-color commander, as my 3-color commander deck for Abzan Tokens. But the reason I keep switching out the commander is the commander seems to not do much for this deck. It's like all about the 99.
It used to be Miracle, Lord of Bones, right?
Yeah, it was Miracle was the latest one. Before that, it was Nadir, Agent of the Dusknell, with Siddhar Kondo of Jamora.
I do remember that.
And I would use Nadir, but I would like almost never use Siddhar Kondo, so I got rid of that.
Sure.
But anyway, my signature card here, which is a card that when it first came out in the Azuri pre-con back in 2015. I loved this card straight out of the box. This is Arachnogenesis, the best fog. Arachnogenesis for 2 and a green. You get an instant that says put X
1/2 green spider creature tokens with reach onto the battlefield, where X is the number of creatures attacking you. Prevent all combat damage that would be dealt this turn by non-spider creatures. And I swear to you, every single time I play against an Edgar Markov deck, the OG Edgar Markov that's in the Mardu colors, every time I play one of those, I will have Arachnogenesis in my hand. If I'm playing a non-green deck, I'll still have Arachnogenesis in my hand.
And it will kill almost every vampire.
Well, that's what I love about this fog so much. A lot of fogs is just prevent all damage that would be dealt. This one, and there's some that you get to create tokens or something, but this is prevent all non-spider damage, and you make spiders. So then you get to block in a really great way to get rid of certain threats. Sure, it's only one damage, but you can gang block 20 creatures on their one commander that's coming in or something, kill it. All the spiders have reach, so it doesn't matter if they have flying for evasion or anything. And then on top of that, in my Abzan's token deck, I mean, maybe I'll double those tokens or triple those tokens, or actually can't triple, double or quadruple those tokens, or turn those tokens into a win condition. Maybe I get to untap next turn. I just fogged your big swing and I'm going to crater hoof. And now I'm going to win for sure on the next turn. So really good at setting up turns, surviving one more turn, making tokens. That's my signature card for Abzan tokens.
I like that you did say when this originally came out, and it has literally never been reprinted. It came out in Magic 2015, or Commander 15, and that's the only printing. This is a card thing we would love to have reprinted.
Yeah, it is. Good. It's $30 right now.
It's crazy.
It could use another printing.
All right. At Panpan Unbroken is playing Shigeki Jukai Visionary and said that Wilderness Reclamation is their signature card. So Shigeki Jukai Visionary is a card that I've only seen because I have an enchantments deck, but it is a 1/3 legendary enchantment creature snake druid for 1 and a green. It says pay 1 and a green and tap it to return it to its owner's hand. Reveal the top 4 cards of your library. You can put a land from among them onto the battlefield tapped, the rest into your graveyard. And then it has channel for XX and 2 green. So no matter what, you're going to have to pay at least 4 total mana to be able to do X=1. But you discard Shigeki and you return X target non-legendary cards from your graveyard to your hand. And Wilderness Reclamation is an enchantment for 3 and a green. It says at the beginning of your end step, you untap all lands you control. So you're ramping with your commander because this is a mono green deck then, and you're going to put additional lands out. And then Wilderness Reclamation is going to untap them. So then you have as much mana available as possible to then channel your commander and then return non-legendary cards from your graveyard. This synergy is great.
Yeah, it's really, really strong. I mean, like Seedborn Muse is a creature that will allow you to untap all of your permanents on each other player's turn, but that doesn't really go well with Shigeki because when Shigeki's doing its abilities, it's already returning itself to your hand. So you really only need to focus on lands when it comes to this deck. So Wilderness Reclamation being there, and talk about the power of Wilderness Reclamation. It is banned in Pioneer. So, is it really? Yeah, it is. So it is a very strong card, and especially when you combine it with blue and start taking extra turns at instant speed. But in mono green, I mean, it's nothing to scoff at. I know I had a mono green instant speed creatures deck all the time, and you know, just being able to untap your lands once is huge.
You know, I think Seaborn Muse is a perfect like redundancy card here.
Sure.
And I would venture to bet that if this were my deck and I was responding here, I would also pick Wilderness Reclamation because it's an enchantment and people run less removal for enchantments than they do for creatures.
We preach that a lot, and it's true though. It's 100% true.
Some might say we're annoying with it, but you know what? It's true.
It's true. Hey, guess what? We're going to continue to be annoying. Enchantments are harder to remove. It's
way
true.
Harder. So
can't block with an enchantment all the time.
No. Yeah,
corner cases, you can.
So we discard non-legendary cards. So here, return Shigeki, Seaborn Muse the graveyard, channel away, get the Seaborn Muse, start it with
perfect,
you know, and you can go for it. And if you ever Concordant Crossroads, Shigeki's going to be instant. I love this. You can do it right away. Very fun.
Really, really cool stuff. All right, so we have our next combination from our patron, Andy Bentley, who chose their commander, Linden, the Steadfast Queen. So Linden is a mono white from Throne of Eldraine. For white, 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 you get a legendary creature, Human Noble, 3/3 with vigilance. It says whenever a white creature you control attacks, gain 1 life. And Andy's signature card for this deck, probably also the best card, really, really strong, Archangel of Thune. For 5 mana, 3 white, you get a 3/4 angel with flying and lifelink that says, whenever you gain life, put a +1/+1 counter on each creature you control.
Yeah, I've died to this card combination against Andy.
I can imagine, because it's Linden's ability is an attack trigger, and it's individual attack triggers for each creature that's attacking. So like you swing with 5, now all of your creatures are getting +5/+5.
Well, 5+1/+1 counters.
Yeah, 5+1/+1 counters.
And then if you can't block them to remove them, mm-hmm. the next time they swing, they're getting more plus whatever is deployed out, maybe even second main.
Well, it's like, and Linden has Linden doesn't have lifelink. If any of them have lifelink, then they're just going to be even bigger, like you said, in the second main. And then moving on to the next turn, you're going to be like, I don't know if I can deal with this board anymore. It's so big. I mean, Blasphemous Act eventually is out of range quickly.
We just recently played a game where Blasphemous Act did not matter because creatures were over 13 toughness.
Oh, yeah.
It was, I like this combination. Archangel of Thune, it still just proves to be.
It's so good.
Very good card from Avacyn Restored. It's so strong.
Reprinted in Double Masters, not 2022. But last year's
OG Double Masters.
And Iconic Masters.
Double Masters 1.
Double Masters 1, not Double Masters 2, Electric Boogaloo.
Exactly. All right. At Cryosis sent in Chatterfang Squirrel General. And the best card in their deck is Deranged Hermit. So Chatterfang Squirrel General is a 3/3 Squirrel Warrior for 2 and a green. It has Forest Walk, as squirrels do. I mean, it makes total sense. Mm-hmm. And it says, if one or more tokens would be created under your control, those tokens plus that many 1/1 green squirrel creature tokens are created instead. So you're just getting extra squirrels for every token you're making. And then it has pay a black, sacrifice X squirrels, target creature gets +X/-X until end of turn. And then pair that with Deranged Hermit, which is a 1/1 elf. That seems weird, but it has echo cost for 3 green-green, and it originally cost 3 green-green. It says, when it enters the battlefield, put 4 1/1 green squirrel creature tokens onto the battlefield. Squirrels get +1/+1. So echo is at the beginning of your upkeep. If this creature entered the battlefield under your since your last upkeep, you have to pay it again, but in this deck you're going to pay it. You probably want this. And if you don't, you still have a bunch of 1/1 squirrels, but you're making 8 squirrels with Deranged Hermit when you have Chatterfang. And it's a squirrel lord. Squirrel lord.
Mm-hmm.
It's just a squirrel lord, but it is an elf that really likes squirrels, okay?
Very much so. It is, as you say, nuts for squirrels. but it is an extremely expensive card because it is a reserveless card. It is a $40 squirrel lord for your Chatterfang deck. Maybe you could take advantage of some reanimation and stuff and actually don't pay for the echo cost. Let it die. Keep bringing it back.
You are in green black
right.
with Chatterfang. So you can certainly do that. And there is a Judge Gift version
that
is 110. And I like shiny cards.
Then you can spend $110 on your Deranged Hermit. I do own a Deranged Hermit, which is nice. I purchased it for my, I referenced it before, my mono green flash deck that I had, because I figured flashing something out that creates four extra bodies would be pretty cool. And I bought it when it was like $5. I'm really glad I did.
I haven't seen Chatterfang in so long.
It's been a while.
I can't remember the last time I played against it.
Well, next time we play my Abzan Tokens deck, Chatterfang is a new addition to that deck.
No, but as a commander.
As a commander, you're right.
I don't even know the last time. I'll have to look it up. It's not like I track my
when Chatterfang first came out, it was extremely popular. Everyone was brewing it, at least. You may not have played against it, but everyone was
brewing
it.
Squirrels are a fun creature type that we've just recently started to get more popularity because they originally, I believe, came from Unsets.
So. Yes.
So. Very fun.
Very, very cool. All right. Our patron, Micah, sent us their commander an explanation of Taiyum, Luminous Enigma from the Ikoria precon. So Taiyum, Luminous Enigma, for 1, a white, black, and a green, you get a 3/3 Nightmare Beast that says each other creature you control enters the battlefield with an additional vigilance counter on it. You can pay 3 generic mana to remove 3 counters from among creatures you control, to put the top 3 cards of your library into your graveyard, then return a permanent card with converted mana cost 3 or less from your graveyard to the battlefield. So this is Micah's favorite commander. And the best card in the deck is probably Replenish. And Replenish is a 4-mana sorcery for 3 and a white. And says return all enchantment cards from your graveyard to play. But since it's an enchantment deck, it cheekily, as Mike has said, maybe instead the best card is Thought Render Lamia. And Thought Render Lamia is a 6-mana 4BB 5/3 enchantment creature Lamia with the Constellation ability, which is whenever an enchantment enters the battlefield. So Constellation, whenever Thought Render Lamia or another enchantment enters the battlefield under your control, each opponent discards a card.
Spice. This feels very Shirei-ish, this combination here.
And it's, you know, if you can just keep looping it back and forth from your graveyard and get everyone hellbent with no cards in their hand. I mean, I love me some mono black control. I mean, this is Abzan control, which is even better. But, you know, making everyone discard their cards is better than counter spells, because then you don't have to counter anything because they don't have anything to cast.
I've seen a lot of like TM Reanimator loopy shenanigans in the past, and it just works really well.
It's I mean, the 3 generic mana that you have to pay is really easy to get off. You have to remove 3 counters from among creatures you control. Tayum's already putting vigilance counters on everything. It's so easy to put +1/+1 counters on things. This was printed in the Ikoria set, all about all of the kinds of counters. You probably have even redundant counters. There's times when I have like 2 vigilance counters on a creature. It's like, well, what am I going to do? Attack twice? You can't do that unless it's got double strike counter. But anyway, you can just remove those redundant vigilance counters on it and turn it into value. Yeah. I like this a lot.
Yeah, this one's great. And I think that it's easy to pair cards into decks like this that say each creature enters with an additional +1/+1 counter or, you know, all those cards that make it easy to be able to actually activate your commander.
Mm-hmm.
Next, we have @KelzumGaming, which sent in Marchesa the Black Rose as their favorite commander and Arcbound Ravager as the strongest card or signature card in the deck. So Marchesa the Black Rose is the original Marchesa card. It is a 3/3 human wizard for 1 BBR, so Grixis colors, with Dethrone. Whenever this creature attacks the player with the most life or tied for the most life, you put a +1/+1 counter on it. It says other creatures you control have Dethrone. And whenever a creature you control with a +1/+1 counter on it dies, return that card to the battlefield under your control at the beginning of the next end step. So it is kind of just the commander doesn't swing very often. It just helps put counters on all the other creatures that you have swinging.
Mm-hmm.
And Arcbound Ravager is a 0/0 2 generic mana value artifact beast. And it has sack an artifact, put a +1/+1 counter on Arcbound Ravager, and Modular 1. This creature enters the battlefield with a +1/+1 counter on it. When it dies, you may put its +1/+1 counters on target artifact creature. So you can stack these triggers. Marchesa can bring things back. You can put these triggers on other artifact creatures you control, and it just becomes like an engine giving away all of its +1/+1 counters to your creatures. And with a lot of enter the battlefield trigger cards, leave the battlefield trigger cards, it's very hard to, at some point when you interact with the deck, it's like all your creatures just have undying if Marchesa is out. So you have to go for the commander. But when the deck's really fun.
It is. It's an all modular deck. Well, maybe not all modular, but modular is the theme, and the modular keyword, not how we would use modular to describe a deck where you can like switch out the commander to different commanders or something. We might use the word modular there.
But Marchesa also, if Marchesa has a +1/+1 counter on herself, she will return to the battlefield under your control.
That is correct.
So you have to have removal when she does not have counters on her.
I also like, and I think Chris does have this in this deck too, and I'm just going to pump his ego up a little bit. I think he has some steel spells in here as well, because Marchesa specifically says return it under your control. So even if you steal someone else's creature and it dies with the +1/+1 counter on it, now you get to keep it forever.
Forever.
It's cool.
Great deck. Stuff. Haven't played against this one in a while either.
Yeah, yeah. Cube Draft is our next on the list, and their favorite commander is Tatiova, Benethic Druid. Haven't seen this commander in a while, but we got a brand new Tatiova from Dominaria United.
We did. Tatiova 2.
Yeah. Tatiova Benethic Druid for 5 mana, 3, a green, and a blue. You get a 3/3 Merfolk Druid. It says whenever land enters the battlefield under your control, you gain 1 life and you draw a card. And Cube Draft's best card in this deck is a land, Undiscovered Paradise. It can tap to add 1 mana of any color to your mana pool, and at the beginning of your next untap phase, return Undiscovered Paradise to its owner's hand.
Yeah.
So hey, you get
you're guaranteed having a land drop every single turn. Mm-hmm. Reminds me of the card Ghost Town, which is similar. So. Ghost Town taps only for colorless, but it has an ability where you can pay 0 and return it to your hand, but I believe only during an opponent's turns. I mean, so you just do it on your opponent's turn just before your turn starts. Mm-hmm. But I this one taps for color mana, yes, so you can get your green and blue. So this one is certainly stronger than Ghost Town in that deck.
Yes, yeah, and you know, Ghost Town has some very corner case advantages where you have a burgeoning out or something. You could play a land on every turn, where Undiscovered Paradise is only returning to your hand at your untap step.
Sure,
but again, it has to be like a perfect scenario of your board state to actually make Ghost Town a completely better card than Undiscovered Paradise. I really like this choice. I have not seen someone use Undiscovered Paradise in a deck before.
I did not know this card existed, and I only knew Ghost Town because I play that in my Omnath Locus of Rage deck, but Undiscovered Paradise would also work really well in Omnath Locus of Rage and taps for green and red.
That's right.
Looks like I have an upgrade I need to
there
make.
There you go. Very cool stuff.
All right. Next is our patron, Decane, who said that his favorite deck is Kyranos, God of Storms. So Kyranos is a 6/5 legendary enchantment creature god, 4/3 blue and a red. It has indestructible. And as long as your devotion to blue and red is less than 7, it's not a creature. And you reveal the first card you draw on each of your turns. Whenever you reveal a land, you get to draw a card. So you're like getting additional card advantage. Mm-hmm. And whenever you reveal a non-land, you get to lightning bolt something. So you get to deal 3 damage to target creature or player. So it's nice to just have.
Yeah.
When there's a lightning bolt sitting out and you have a creature, it makes your opponents play different because your opponent goes, oh shoot, I have a creature with 3 toughness, but I need it to live. Fingers crossed my opponent gets an extra land and not a bolt.
That's very true.
Yeah, so Kyranos is great. And the signature card for this deck, or best card, is Expropriate.
Blah.
I love Expropriate. I think I've cast Expropriate more this year than I've ever cast Expropriate ever, because I have it in a wizard deck that I'm reducing the cost of. But Expropriate is a 9 mana, so 7 blue sorcery. And it says, Council's Dilemma. Starting with you, each player votes for time or money. For each time vote, you get an extra turn. For each money vote, you choose target permanent owned by the voter, and you just gain control of it. And then you do exile Expropriate. So you're not gonna loop this, but I mean, I guess you could copy it or something, and you're in blue-red. Expropriate usually goes like this. I vote time because I want an extra turn, and everybody else goes...
Money.
Unless they only have 1 permanent and it's their commander, and then they sometimes give you time, then you made a mistake, and the person who got 2 extra turns starts to run away with it. Expropriate's fantastic. It costs 9 mana. I will say, in most cases, it's not always being cheated out, but I have seen it before where there's a Narset, the 3 color Narset that swings, and Expropriate just gets revealed. Mm-hmm. It's like, oh yeah, this is over. So Expropriate, so good, top tier choice.
I'm imagining Decane playing this in the Kyranos deck, and it's like, oh, am I gonna lightning bolt or not? Reveals Expropriate. I don't care where the 3 damage goes.
I lightning bolt I'm you, losing. I'm getting another turn.
All right. So we have Donnie from the MTG Filthy Casuals, aka at Pimpin73, with their favorite deck, Darien, King of Keldor. Is this Darien also from Dominaria? Is this the long lineage of King Darien, Extra Large the Eighth?
I thought they were the same, but I have no idea if this is just lineage or not. I don't know the timeline of when Darien, King of Keldor was versus the new one, but this one did come out, I think, in Cold Snap. So I don't know how many years have passed since Cold Snap.
Oh, a lot of years have passed since Cold Snap.
Okay, then probably just...
This might be King Darien, Extra Large the First.
The I would
very first.
Maybe.
Wow. Okay, well, Darian, King of Kaldor, is a 6-mana human soldier, 4 white-white, you know, 3/3. Says whenever you're dealt damage, you may create that many 1/1 white soldier creature tokens. And the signature card that Donnie's got in here is Angel's Trumpet. We have seen this one.
We recently lost to it at Command Fest Indie.
That's right. That's right. I had it in my Go deck for a second and then I took it right out. But Angel's Trumpet, for 3 generic mana, you get an artifact that says attacking does not cause creatures to tap. Or the errated all creatures have vigilance. At the beginning of each player's end step, tap all untapped creatures that player controls that didn't attack this turn. Angel's Trumpet deals damage to the player equal to the number of creatures tapped this way. So this is kind of a control artifact that is pseudo-goad. I mean, it's attack with all your creatures, or they're going to deal damage to you. Or, well, Angel's Trumpet is going to be what's dealing the damage, but you're going to take damage if you don't swing with your creatures, so you better swing with your creatures.
And then I will have enough tokens to swing into you with my vigilant tokens. Mm-hmm. And I don't always want to block anyway, because I want to take damage to make more 1/1 white creature tokens.
Exactly.
It's like the first mono white deck that, or maybe not first, but maybe one of the only mono white decks that I can think of that actually wants to just say, no blocks, ever.
I will take the damage.
I'll take the damage. And then I'm going to drop a Cathar's Crusade, or I'm going to drop a Coat of Arms to pair with this Angel's Trumpet that is now giving all of my stuff just, you know, their vigilance and ginormous. Mm-hmm. Now
I know there's a land that you have to pay 3 life to tap it for 1 mana of any color. It's like, it's City of Brass, but it's three life instead of 1 life that I know a lot of Darian decks run. And in combination with like any sort of Soul Sister, it's like I take 3, I make 3, I gain 3. And that's what I really love about the Darian decks, but it's nice to see some of these other cards that are going to be dealing damage to force people to swing in mono white, force people to swing at me. Make me make more soldier tokens.
Let me help you. Yeah, yeah. No, you can play cards like Ancient Tomb, tap for 2,
yeah.
you deal 2 damage to yourself, or activate cards like War Room because mm-hmm. you lose life and you draw a card mm-hmm. for the color of you pay life equal to the number of colors your commander is.
Got to be careful with that, because this does specifically say whenever you're dealt damage. So I don't think paying life would work.
Pay life.
Yes.
This one is pay life.
Well, so depending on the land.
Yeah, there's definitely a lot of lands though that do tap and deal you damage.
Yes, so they do.
You will definitely be able to make plenty of tokens. Next is at Mr. Fitzy Fitz from Arena of the Ancients, and they said that their favorite deck is Quaza, Augur of Agonies, and the best card in the deck is Lich's Mastery. So Quaza is a 3/4 Cephalid Advisor for 1 white-blue-black, and it says whenever you draw a card, target opponent loses 1 life and you gain 1 life. If you've watched our stream before, we lost to this. Colin the Clock was on our stream, and I remember going, I have no way out of this. I don't know what I'm going to do. And if you pair this with Lich's Mastery, it is a legendary enchantment for 3 black. It has hexproof. It says you can't lose the game. Whenever you gain life, you draw that many cards. And whenever you lose life, for each 1 life you lost, exile a permanent you control or a card from your hand or graveyard. When Lich's Mastery leaves the battlefield, you lose the game. So when you gain life here, you're going to draw a card. And when you draw a card, you're going to gain a life mm-hmm. and you're going to draw your entire deck mm-hmm. with Lich's Mastery. And it says you can't lose the game. Mm-hmm. So you're likely just going to find an answer, likely from all those cards you mm-hmm. just drew. It's so good.
Well, and in the process, you're going to be killing at least one player.
At least. I mean, I guess if you were to get this out early and then you just draw one card, if you draw, yeah, you're taking it.
It'd be tough to kill 2 players.
It'd be tough to kill 2 because you have to draw 80. So it'd have to be like the perfect start.
Well, and I guess we're also assuming that everyone's going to stay at 40 life the entire game. So.
Oh, they're going to go to, I mean, you just start, get Quaza out. Yeah.
Yeah.
This is probably going to kill 2 people and you only have to deal with 1 by doing whatever it is that you're doing. Maybe shuffle your hands into your graveyard and then draw, because then you can just redraw your deck again.
Oh,
just
yeah.
a windfall will do it. You could even make your opponent deck themselves.
Yeah, that's true.
This is fun. I don't have Lich's Mastery in a single... Do you have Lich's Mastery in any deck?
I don't have Lich's Mastery in any deck.
I don't have a deck it fits with. Now I want a deck that it fits with.
I mean, I used to have an Esper Wheels deck that it definitely would have fit in. if I just use Quaza as my Wheels commander instead. But Wheels decks do not spark joy with a lot of people out there.
Sure.
So I don't play my Wheels deck. I don't think I own a Lich's Mastery though either. So it's not like, and it's from the Dominaria set, the original.
It's a whole 84 set. So I mean, yes, you're not breaking the bank if you want to pick up a Lich's Mastery. But I do think that this is a very fun way to go out, and one that I feel like every time you could draw your deck, take mm-hmm. one or maybe two out, and then play the cards that in your deck a different way each time, right? Because mm-hmm. you're like, well, I haven't won with this card,
sure,
and it would win. So yeah. I like it. I'm here for it.
Yeah, that would be a lot of fun. User at Fried Pineapple. I've never had fried pineapple before. I've had grilled pineapple, and I really like it.
I don't like pineapple, period, and it doesn't belong on pizza either.
Oh my gosh, we're fighting.
We're fighting.
So Fried Pineapple said that their favorite deck is Muldrotha the Gravetide, the most popular Sultai commander of all time. Muldrotha the Gravetide is a 6-mana 6/6 elemental avatar for 3 black, green, and a blue. It says during each of your turns, you may play a land and cast a permanent spell of each permanent type from your graveyard. So the favorite card or the best card in this deck is World Shaper. World Shaper for 3 and a green. You get a Merfolk Shaman 3/3. It says whenever World Shaper attacks, you may mill 3 cards, and when World Shaper dies, return all land cards from your graveyard to the battlefield. Given the description that Fried Pineapple gave, I think this is a landfall deck, or at least wins with a lot of landfall, because they're going to try to win with a Splendid Reclamation for their win con. For 3 and a green, you get a sorcery that says return all land cards from your graveyard to the battlefield tapped. So World Shaper's death trigger is very similar to Splendid Reclamation, and World Shaper has some extra upside of being able to mill cards into your graveyard as you go throughout the game, because as we know, Muldrotha doesn't just play lands, it's permanents of every type. So being able to mill your half of your deck into the graveyard gives you a really large hand to play with every single turn.
Yeah, Muldrotha has, I think, of all commanders, the largest hand in existence.
Yeah, I think,
because
so
people say, oh, your graveyard is just an extension of your hand.
Mm-hmm.
Not in most decks of mine.
No.
But if I was playing Muldrotha,
then definitely
the whole everything is your hand, because you're going to mill all of it. I do like that they actually said they liked World Shaper and chose it because it helps them control what's going to happen when they do cast that Splendid mm-hmm. Reclamation. So it's like, you know, I want to do it at the right time.
Mm-hmm.
And World Shaper is just very good in Golgari decks that I run,
oh,
just in
really
decks
strong
that care about the graveyard. So I love it.
Yeah, even if you're not milling and you're just using some fetch lands, if you're playing a three color deck that utilizes at least the 3 fetch lands within your colors and maybe some basic fetch lands, if you're utilizing some of the new Capenna fetch lands, they enter, they sack themselves immediately, you gain a life, and you fetch for a basic of whatever the Mafia's colors are. Those are all very useful with returning back to your graveyard, even if you're not specifically a Landfall Matters deck.
Yeah. It's great. Next is at Ben with no number. And they said that their strongest play that they would consider in this deck is Increasing Devotion, that it might not be their strongest card, but mm-hmm. they like it as their strongest play in their Kyler Sigardian Emissary deck. So Kyler is from Midnight Hunt Commander. So I like to say that it was just, you know, that was just a little bit ago, but man, mm-hmm. Midnight Hunt Commander was quite a while ago. And Kyler is a 2/2 human cleric for 3 green white. And it says, whenever another human enters the battlefield under your control, you put a +1/+1 counter on Kyler, Sigardian Emissary, and other humans you control get +1/+1 for each counter on Kyler. So it can just make all of your human tokens just ginormous.
Mm-hmm.
And Increasing Devotion is a sorcery for 3 white. It says, create 5/1/1 white human creature tokens, but it also has flashback for 7 white. And it says, if the spell was cast from a graveyard, instead you're going to create 10 of those tokens. So the card's going to make you 15 tokens if you cast it and then flash it back. If Kyler, if the stars align, Kyler's going to get 5+1/+1 counters. Your humans are going to get +5/+5. And then when you flash it back, your humans are going to get +15/+15. And if you do not have removal for Kyler or a board wipe to get rid of those humans, you will be losing likely on your next turn.
Yeah, there's 136 damage in tokens coming your direction. So good luck.
And you're in green, so you might be running other cards that are going to double the number of tokens you control on an enchantment. Or at instance, be with Second Harvest. Very great card.
Give all of my creatures +3/+3 and trample until end of turn so that we can overrun everyone else on the battlefield.
Yes. Yep. Fantastic.
All right. Well, user at Zoom Rat Twitch's favorite commander is Afara, God of the Polis, a deck I haven't seen since the last time I played in-person commander at one of our LGSs. Mm-hmm. Afara, God of the Polis, for 4 mana, 2 white and a blue. You get a 6/5 legendary enchantment creature god. It has indestructible, and as long as your devotion to white and blue is less than 7, Afara isn't a creature. At the beginning of each upkeep, if you had another creature enter the battlefield under your control last turn, draw a card. So the best card that they have in this deck is Salt Skitter. So Salt Skitter is a 4-mana worm. So for 3 and a white, you get a 3/4 worm. It says whenever another creature comes into play, remove Salt Skitter from the game. Return Salt Skitter to play under its owner's control at end of turn.
A mono white worm that bounces.
To make sure that you always get your creature ETB, to make sure you're always drawing a card with Afara. So
you're drawing 4 times every time you go around the table, mm-hmm, on your turn and on every opponent's turn.
Mm-hmm. As long as another creature comes into play. Any creature comes into play.
And any creature.
Everyone's got commanders.
Everyone has commanders. They might be. You're likely going to see at least one of your opponents probably play a creature
most
out.
Most likely.
And you are going to draw on your turn. And then when it comes in, you'll draw on the next upkeep. So you're going to draw at least on 2 of those, mm-hmm, 4. So you're drawing 2 cards every time.
And it's really huge.
It's really good.
Two cards per turn is definitely nothing to laugh at. That's a lot of cards.
They also sent in the secret layer version of Afara. So it is the constellation version. So gotcha. It's the top-notch art. Actually, both the Afara arts are really, really good. I didn't know Salt Skitter existed. I didn't see this at the version that was being played at our LGS, and I've played against that deck quite a bit. Mm-hmm. Maybe Salt Skitter was in there and I just never saw it come out, but that is really fun.
Yeah, I see Salt Skitter come out very rarely, like after sets get released when people are just looking for extra ETBs. Like, this is a free ETB all the time. I've never seen it in real life. I've never seen it in a game, nothing like that. But I have heard about it before talking about it today.
I will say it feels like very much like a signature card, Salt Skitter, while it works with other things.
Sure.
Like a View from Above is like, I can't think of a really better commander than Noyandar for it. Salt Skitter seems to just like, this is its deck. I like those.
Yeah, because even our brand new Worm Matters commander is mono green.
Can't
run the white worm in there. Sorry. Yeah,
mono green. Next is Knights_Eternal. They said their favorite commander is Min, Wily Illusionist, and the best card in the deck is Demon Mail Harbork. And I had never heard of this card. So my Min, Wily Illusionist, is a 1/3 gnome wizard for 1 blue-blue. And it says when you draw your second card each turn, you make a 1/1 blue illusion creature token with this creature gets +1/+0 for each other illusion you control. So they kind of just grow together. And then it says whenever an illusion you control dies, you can put a permanent card. It's permanent, mm-hmm, not creature, not, mm-hmm, it's permanent card with mana value less than or equal to that creature's power from your hand on to the battlefield. And Demon Mail Hauberk is a 4-mana artifact equipment from Innistrad. It's single printing. It has equipped creature gets +4/+2. And to equip, you just have to sacrifice a creature. Mm-hmm. So you're already looking for ways to sack creatures because Min wants you to do that to be able to put permanents onto the battlefield.
Mm-hmm.
And they said it works incredibly well for ways as a way for them to cheat out permanents that are basically 4 mana higher than they should be, because Demon Mail is giving their creature +4/+2.
Right.
And they found this while they were just looking through singles that they owned at their house,
mm-hmm,
for something that was a free sack out. Like a Viserys Seer, mono black, can't play it in a Min deck. But this one is a free sack outlet on an equipment that if you have already a few illusions, you're going to put a permanent with mana value, potentially 5, 6, or 7, just from your hand onto the battlefield.
Yeah.
And you're going to make illusions.
This
all in the process, because you're going to likely draw cards with the things you're putting out onto the battlefield.
That's
it's really cool. This actually, I like the thread here, because there were a lot of people that responded and said, this is genius.
Yeah.
Like, is one of those big brain plays that everybody's going to remember when you play against Demon Mail Hauberk going, what is this?
I was really confused when I saw it, because I play a very similar card in my Ozgear, the Reconstructor deck, called Piston Sledge, which is a 3-mana thing, but it has equip, sack a creature, It has equipped sack an artifact instead of sack a creature.
Oh, okay.
So it definitely fits in different decks, but it's cool to see that. And it also gives an extra plus one. So it has +4/+2, where Piston Sledge is +3/+1. But really cool to see cards like this exist. I love that, like, the alternate equip costs. Not
just mana,
not cranial plating, alternate equip costs where you can do it at instant speed kind of deal, but yeah, where it's not mana sacking a creature. It'd be cool to see some more equipment like that, like maybe tapping a creature to equip something.
Yeah,
very, very, very cool. We have from @IntrepidTauTog, they sent us their favorite commander, Arcades the Strategist. Arcades for 4 mana for 1, a green, white, and blue. You get a 3/5 Elder Dragon with flying and vigilance. It says whenever a creature with Defender enters the battlefield under your control, draw a card. Each creature you control with Defender assigns combat damage equal to its toughness rather than its power and can attack as though it did not have Defender. And their favorite card in their Arcades deck is Wall of Junk. Wall of Junk is a 2 generic mana artifact creature, 0 power, 7 toughness. This is whenever Wall of Junk blocks, return it to its owner's hand at end of combat. It just makes sense. A 2 mana creature that swings for 7 is fantastic. But on top of that, when you do cast and it enters the battlefield, you get to draw a card. And, you know, if it doesn't make, if you have to block with it before it makes it back around, you can block with it, it returns to your hand, and then you get to cast it again and draw another card.
It's 2 mana. There's no real downside to this. You're drawing a card, and if it doesn't, I'm going to hit you for 7.
Even 2 generic mana, too. So it's like, it's the easiest spell to cast.
I like playing against Arcades decks, and it made these really silly walls very fun.
Yes.
Like, I mean, you're like, oh, man, there was a 2 mana 07 that had a downside in whatever standard environment was. Mm-hmm. Now we've busted. It's broken. All right, the next is our patron Jester Vest, who said their favorite commander is Quintorius Field Historian, and the best card in the deck is Bag of Holding. So Quintorius is a 2/4 Elephant Cleric for 3 red and a white. It says spirits you control get +1/+0, and whenever one or more cards leave your graveyard, you create a 3/2 red and white spirit creature token. Bag of Holding is an artifact for 1 mana. It says whenever you discard a card, you're going to exile it from your graveyard. You can pay 2 and tap it to draw a card and discard a card, which will then obviously get exiled. and then pay 4 and tap it. You can sacrifice Bag of Holding, return all cards exiled Bag of Holding to their owner's hands. It's fantastic. You're just making a bunch of spirits and you're going to get these cards back in the future. Who cares if they go to exile? I'm going to get them back at the same time as making all these spirits that are getting pumped by my commander.
It's so good. I love the elephant man making those spirits, even though they're ground spirits. That's okay.
Even though they're ground spirits.
That is definitely okay. We have a user, ULKAMTG. I don't know if that's supposed to be Ulka MTG, but they gave their favorite commander, one that is blew my mind as anyone's favorite commander, but I think they found a real way to make it work, and that's Mishra, the one that I really need a new Mishra that's more commander friendly than this Mishra. Mishra, Artificer Prodigy, for 4 mana, 1 blue, black, and a red, you get a 4/4 human artificer. Says whenever you play an artifact spell, you may search your graveyard, hand, and or library for a card with the same name as that spell and put it into play. If you search your library this way, shuffle it. So you can imagine in Commander, a singleton format, it is maybe not very sought after, that ability. But in combination with their favorite card, Possibility Storm, I think it works pretty well. So for 3 red-red, you get an enchantment. This is whenever a player casts a spell from their hand, that player exiles it, then exiles cards from the top of their library until they exile a card that shares card type with it. That player may cast that card without paying its mana cost. Then they put all cards exiled with Possibility Storm on the bottom of their library in a random order. So when you go to cast your Soul Ring with Possibility Storm out, it's going to immediately exile. So you have 2 triggers. You have Possibility Storm trigger and a Mishra trigger, and you make sure the Mishra trigger is on the bottom. Possibility Storm trigger is on the top of the stack so that it resolves first. You're going to get whatever artifact comes up in the top of your library, which you can cast, which gives you another Mishra trigger. That one's not going to matter. That's going to fall off. You probably don't have 2 cards with the same name. But your original Mishra trigger will then be the last thing on the stack. And you just put that Soul Ring back on the bottom of your library. So now you can go grab that Soul Ring and put it out there. I didn't know this combination existed. I thought Mishra was only a thing with Protean staff for like comboing out and stuff. But it's really cool to see that there's another card to make Mishra very viable.
Yeah, I we don't see this Mishra very often, and Possibility Storm usually gets groans from the table.
Does.
But it is a fun card, and also comes from a set that I think has a lot of bangers, and Commander Dragon's Mace has a lot of very popular cards. Mm-hmm. So that I do like that when they sent it to us, they said it's a very simple, effective very simple. Combo.
Yes.
All right. Now we do have a lot of responses. So we're gonna do one more each, and then we will be covering everybody else's responses on a future episode. Mm-hmm. So if we didn't get to yours today,
we'll
definitely be getting to it. But the next here is at D Smurf account, who said that they have an Animar Soul of Elements morph deck, and their signature card is Vesuvan Shapeshifter. So Animar Soul of Elements is a 1/1 legendary elemental for green blue red, so teamer. It has protection from white and black, so we've got all five colors happening somehow on this card. And it has, whenever you cast a creature spell, put a +1/+1 counter on Animar Soul of Elements. And creature spells that you cast cost one generic less for each counter on Animar. And Vesuvan Shapeshifter is a 0/0 shapeshifter for 3 blue-blue. And it says, as it enters the battlefield or is turned face up, it has morph. So you're going to be able to play this for its morph cost. You may choose another creature on the battlefield. If you do, until Vesuvan Shapeshifter is turned face down, it becomes a copy of that creature, except it has, at the beginning of your upkeep, you may turn this creature back like face down. Mm-hmm. So if someone plays a better creature and you want that creature instead, you can turn it face down and then morph it again to turn it into whatever else it was. Mm-hmm. So I like that this is a morph deck, which is not what I typically see for Animar. And it's that the shapeshifter does a lot of work because it's usually the other scariest thing on the board, sure, which kind of diverts the attention from Animar. Well, they start to kind of set up combos. Animar has a couple of combos where you can play things, return them to your hand, just make Animar huge, maybe drop some big Eldrazi, some mm-hmm. giant colorless creatures, whatever it is. I don't see Animar very often, but I like this take being a morph theme deck,
yeah,
for Animar.
Not to rain on your parade, but the very first Animar deck I ever saw was a morph.
Was it now?
Yes, because Animar reducing your costs by generic mana make your morphs free after 3.
Oh, I like that.
Yeah, and then Animar just gets really, really big because all of your spells are free. And it just goes big, 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 big.
Oh, this does make total sense.
Yes. I'm just so happy that Willbender was not named here. The morph that counters a spell as a state-based action. It's the only thing other than a mana ability that can reply to a split second, all that kind of stuff. So I'm really happy to see Vesuvan Shapeshifter instead of Willbender.
Oh, taking a look, morph is the second most popular Animar. I think all I ever see is the Eldrazi tribal or like the pod versions. Maybe it's just me running into just different versions.
To be fair, the morph decks usually are the Eldrazi tribal ones.
Oh, really?
Because then your Eldrazi are also free because they're
all colorless, generic mana cost.
Yeah.
Smart.
So, yeah. So
I learned something today about Animar that I had no idea.
And now Animar has a sick new art. So now you can go build.
You can
turn your morph deck into an Animar morph deck. You just have to change out.
Yeah, I had Kadena morph.
Change out black for red. And then there you go.
All right.
Make it happen. All right. So the last one that we're going to talk about today comes from Dragonsun 96 and their favorite commander, Rakdos, Lord of Riots. For black, black, red, red, you get a demon with 6 power and 6 toughness. It says you can't cast Rakdos, Lord of Riots, unless an opponent lost life this turn. It's got flying and trample, and creature spells you cast cost 1 generic less to cast for each 1 life your opponents have lost this turn. Funny that we went from one potentially Eldrazi commander to another potentially Eldrazi commander.
Oops, that's my fault. I played Rakdos with all my Eldrazi. It's all my fault.
But the favorite card from Dragonsun 96 in this deck is Keen Duelist from Strixhaven. So Keen Duelist for 1 and a black. You get a 2/2 human wizard that says at the beginning of your upkeep, you and target opponent each reveal the top card of your library. You each lose life equal to the mana value of the card revealed by the other player. You each put the card you revealed into your hand. So this is like Dark Confidant, except instead of you taking damage, your opponent takes the damage, but also your opponent has the Dark Confidant that you're going to take damage. But I mean, really, you're just going to choose the player that has like the smallest spells. Like you're going to choose the Is It Spellslinger deck that's playing all of the 1 and 2 mana draw card abilities and stuff. You can have an extra card draw because I'm only going to take 2. But when I draw my card that caught my Ingaruk's Wake that costs 9, you're going to take 9. And now all of my spells cost 9 less to cast. It's very strong. And Dragonsun did particularly say They throw a lot of damage out with this card because of the high mana curve of their deck.
Yeah. So although Rakdos can only reduce the cost of your creature spells, reveal your giant instants and sorceries because there's some Eldrazi coming or just some big demons.
Yeah, what if you revealed like a Pathbreaker or something? I mean, any generic mana creature you reveal, you then can cast for free because that's the amount of damage you're dealing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's a wonderful, wonderful, wonderful combo.
Yeah, it's really good. I do like seeing Rakdos, Lord of Riot's decks. And you usually know what's going, you know, when you go into it, you go, they're going to have giant cards.
Oh, yeah.
I'm going to need to be prepared for this.
Be prepared.
Well, that's going to be it for this week's episode. Thank you for everybody who actually sent in these responses. We have 2.5 pages more of responses, actually. So we will definitely be covering these in the future. So don't worry. Stay tuned. We will cover those. Like I mentioned, we are looking at doing a stream for Unfinity soon. Mm-hmm. And we're going to be talking about cards that came out or are going to be coming out with Unfinity because the set will be fully previewed by our episode next week.
Mm-hmm.
But if you want to chat with us more, I'm on Twitter at Andy Flory.
And I'm on Twitter at Wormcoil Engine. And of course, thank you so much for listening. And we'll catch you next week.
Bye.
Bye.